From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the Massachusetts Department of Corrections says it will eliminate solitary confinement in all of its prisons over the next 3 years. This move follows an independent report that called for ending so-called restrictive housing in state prisons. For more on this, we're joined now by WBUR's Deborah Becker. Hey, Deb, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
So this has been a goal for prisoners' rights advocates for many years. But remind us, why do prisons use solitary confinement in the first place, and why is it harmful?
Well, Paris, prisons use solitary confinement. In Massachusetts, it's called restrictive housing for various reasons: punishment, de-escalation, sometimes protection. And we should say, typically, it's defined as holding someone in a cell alone for more than 22 hours a day. There is quite a bit of evidence showing that locking someone away with no human contact for extended periods of time is pretty damaging, as you can imagine. It's shown to harm people physically and psychologically, and it's especially harmful for those with mental illness, and the majority of those incarcerated do have a diagnosed mental illness. The United Nations calls prolonged solitary confinement a form of torture, and many states and the federal government are moving to do away with it.
And this decision to phase out restrictive housing in Massachusetts prisons comes from an independent report commissioned by the state. Tell us more about that report's findings.
This report was done by a group called Falcon Correctional and Community Services. It spent the past year interviewing correctional staff, Department of Correction officials, prisoners' advocates, incarcerated men, and formerly incarcerated men and their families. We should say there's no restrictive housing for women who are in state custody in Massachusetts. Among those the Falcon group spoke with is a man by the name of Eric Williams. He's 45 years old and lives in Fall River, and he was released from prison 8 years ago. He says he told the Falcon investigators that prolonged solitary for him was damaging. This is a bit of what he said. Let's listen.
My friend stayed over there for 14 years and 10 years. And, you know, you can't put someone in a box and don't think that it's not going to have a negative effect on their mind.
The there that Williams is specifically referring to is the so-called DDU, or Department Disciplinary Unit, at MCI Cedar Junction. This is a place, Paris, where prisoners are sent when they're disciplined for serious incidents that they're involved in while they're incarcerated. Now, this unit, this DDU, was singled out in the Falcon report, which recommends that the unit be dissolved. And here's how Williams goes on to describe it.
You're going to sit somewhere where you're in a cell for 23 hours a day. You get 3 showers a week, maybe 4 phone calls a month, 4 visits a month behind the glass. They try to restrict your contact with virtually anybody, everyone. It's a combination of all of those elements that made DDU such a horrendous experience.
Williams was in the DDU for a total of 8 years before he was released from prison.
I can only imagine what that must have been like for him. And so, Deb, how is he doing now after that experience?
Well, he says he's still trying to adjust 8 years later. He says that he regularly sees a counselor, and he has a hard time being with people. He sometimes reacts strongly to swift movements or loud noises, but he says he's working on it.
Well, that said, it sounds like solitary confinement is essentially the opposite of rehabilitation.
That's right. It really hasn't been shown to do much good, and rehabilitation of prisoners is part of the prison system's mission statement.
So what happens from here? Will solitary confinement go away immediately?
Not right away. The State Department of Correction says it will implement the recommendations in this report, and there are 11 of them, over 3 years. It suggests really making a philosophical shift, Paris, toward more efforts at helping to rehabilitate the people who are in state custody. And this is something prisoners' rights advocates have been pushing for many years. The advocates say that they'll monitor this report and how any changes are made to make sure that they're substantive and don't result in solitary confinement by another name. And State Senator Jamie Eldridge, who's co-chair of the legislature's Judiciary Committee, he says the report's a positive first step and says there will be a briefing with DOC officials and state lawmakers to go over some of the details.
We hear from, you know, the families of incarcerated people every day. We certainly, you know, have heard a lot about the problems of solitary confinement. You know, the DOC really has not been willing to make any significant changes. And that's why, you know, I'm very encouraged by this report. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
Also, Paris, we should say State Representative Liz Miranda says these changes can't wait 3 years. She's asking also for more details, and she wants faster implementation.
Well, we'll certainly be keeping an eye on this as time goes by. That's WBUR's Deborah Becker. Thanks so much for your reporting on this.
You're welcome.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Voting reforms that made it easier for Massachusetts residents to cast their ballots during the pandemic have now expired. Voters can no longer request a mail-in ballot unless they have an excuse for why they can't make it to the polls in person. Massachusetts' top election official, Secretary of State Bill Galvin, says that with only a few local elections scheduled this month, it's not a major concern just yet. But he says that come September, things will get busy.
That's where the real concern lies. Because the municipalities that are holding elections in September, the preliminary elections, are cities in general, and they have large cities with significant numbers of voters.
The Massachusetts House and Senate agree that mail-in voting should be allowed to continue, at least for now, but they haven't reached an agreement on how to make that happen. Meanwhile, former Boston Police Commissioner Dennis White is suing the city of Boston over his termination. White was dismissed by Acting Mayor Kim Janey last month after an investigation alleged that he'd abused his ex-wife. His lawyer, Nicholas Carter, says the investigation into White, who is a person of color, was racially biased.
The city and acting mayor tore apart his life and reputation because of a rush to judgment and the publication of false allegations against him.
Acting Mayor Janey has declined to comment on White's new federal lawsuit. And finally today, let's end on a musical note.
I'll go running, let my hair down. Won't give 2 ears to what you say now. Won't give 2 ears to what you say now.
As we head into this holiday weekend, we wanted to highlight some new tunes from local recording artist Ella Williams of Arlington, known as Squirrel Flower. Her latest album, Planet I, was released just last Friday. The song is I'll Go Running.
I'm a space rock burning fast. I'm a space rock burning fast.
Somber and dirge-like, Planet I is a collection of grungy folk songs that tend to start out low and slow.
And I won't lie and say I've got another. I won't lie and say I've got another.
And then burst open. As music critic Charlie Ruddle puts it, Planet I often wants to be, and is successfully, two disparate things at once. It's soft, but also cathartic. It's folksy, but anthemic. It's minimal, but exploding. In a parallel analogy, these are qualities of both dying and surviving. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since local music and a long holiday weekend, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey, true story. If you're a regular listener, you know I've also worked on WBUR's local daily news magazine show, Radio Boston. But as a matter of fact, yesterday was my last day on Radio Boston as I shift my focus to consider this full time. That said, I just want to give a huge shout out to all my very talented Radio Boston colleagues, and I want to remind listeners that Radio Boston is another way to get a whole bunch of information about what is happening in our city and our region every day. It's an amazing community public radio show that's dear to my heart, and you should give it a listen. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.